Well, there's that really, really famous quote about patriotism being the last refuge of the scandal, a Samuel Johnson quote. And, well, perhaps Samuel's alone in thinking that, but perhaps not. What about you? Are you a patriotic Australian? What does that concept even mean to you? When you see patriots of other countries, how do you feel about that? Do you see them as scoundrels, or do you think, fair enough, good on you, I would be too? If it's about Australia, what does it mean? Is it about a love of the Australian landscape? Is it about green and gold? Is it about wearing flags? About waving them? What is it? Do you find that overt displays of patriotism are perhaps a bit tacky? Or do you go further than that and worry that sometimes they might even have overtones of racism? There's certainly a lot of that sort of theory kicking around over the last few days. Let's have a chat about this for our Thursday panel. I should point out before I introduce the guests that you can interact with this topic, and we'd actually really love you to do that. There are a few ways you can. One, you can give us a call. 1300 call RN is the number. 1300 22 55 76. 1300 call RN. Or you can send us a text message 0418 226 576. You can also get involved on Facebook and Twitter, and we do have some comments there that I'll inject into the conversation as we get going from those two social media platforms. Patriotism today, our Thursday panel here on RN Drive. And for it, I'm joined by two people. Michael Brull, who's joining us from Sydney. He's a blogger and a commentator studying a Juris Doctor at the University of New South Wales. And also Tim Soutphommasane, an author, academic, political theorist with connections all over the place, including Monash University. Welcome to both of you.
Good to be
here.
Thank
you for having me.
All right, now let's get this party started. Michael, I might go to you. You say pretty upfront that you're not a patriotic Australian. What's wrong with you?
I spoke to the producer of the show, and she said she wanted to find out if I still wasn't going to celebrate Australia Day. And I said, yeah, I'm still quite unpatriotic.
Right.
And she was kind of taken aback. She thought it was kind of strange. And, you know, I did some Facebook research over the last week.
Oh, that's the best kind.
For the radio show. Yeah. And I asked people who I know who aren't white to say, do you consider yourself patriotic? And not a single person did. And that was like, you know, 5-10 people.
All right, I'm bringing Tim in here because as far as I can tell, my best guess, Tim, is that you're not white.
No, I'm not white, but I confess I'm a patriotic scoundrel.
Oh, right.
But I assure you of a good and qualified kind, and certainly...
Hang on, you're backing off. You're going, I'm a patriot, but I'm not one of those nasty patriots.
Well, because there are a lot of nasty patriots out there, Waleed, and I think it'd be silly to ignore that and to pretend that there isn't an ugly patriotism taking place and coming into fruition in contemporary Australia. And that's a real concern to me as a patriot, Waleed, because I think patriotism should be aspirational. It should be about trying to live up to the best of the traditions of your country and trying to improve your country. I mean, this time of year, around Australia Day, I always think of the Australian of the Year Awards as a good example of what patriotism can involve. I mean, I was just in Canberra the last few days, and there were some great stories among the finalists of the Australian of the Year Awards, and really inspirational, uplifting, and really make you reflect on what it means to be a member of a community, to contribute to the community, and to do your best. And I think that's the kind of patriotism I'd want to sign up to, and hence the qualification, because I think there are lots of other unthinking, jingoistic expressions of patriotism that I'm not comfortable with as an Australian, because it's okay, dangerous to exclude people.
So can I ask you, Dr. Soutphommasane, when you say that, you know, there's a certain type of patriot who wants to improve their country and that kind of thing, I'm not against wanting to improve the country. You know, I think everyone should want to, you know, make wherever they live a better place. But my question is, why would you need to be a patriot to want to do that? You know, if you want to challenge injustice, make Australia a fairer place, a more just place, a more equal place, you know, try to redress inequality and, you know, help out minority groups and that kind of thing, you don't need to be a patriot to do it. And in fact, I think, you know, people who are unpatriotic are probably more likely to think that things are wrong about Australia and want to change them.
Oh, that's a fair point. That's a fair point, Michael. And I'm not suggesting it's the only way that you contribute to community, but I think it's one way that many people would certainly engage with contributing to a greater good. And it seems silly to me to throw the baby out with the bathwater.
Well, can you explain to me, how does saying, I love my country, I think it's the best, or whatever, how does that contribute in any way to wanting to make Australia a better place?
Well, the word patriotism, Michael, it has its roots in the word patria, you know, the idea of a patrimony, a legacy, a tradition that you contribute to. And I think it's important to ground any sense of commitment you have to a community, because if you don't have a strong anchor, a strong sense of tradition, it can be difficult to pin down exactly what you're contributing to.
So let's break in here and reframe, shall we? Let's take a step back, because it's...
I hate that word, by the way.
I wanted to
reframe.
Respond to that.
Reframe. Well, what would you rather I use?
Well, we can go with it for now.
Oh, you got no alternative. Typical academic.
Takes one to know one.
Yeah, exactly. let's go back, because I think everyone can agree that community is a good thing. Everyone can agree
not
that...
Not necessarily.
That you don't agree that community is a good thing.
Well, to respond more to Dr. Suparmasan, he said that...
You can just call me Tim, Michael.
Okay, I'll call you Tim. I think that, Tim was saying that it's, to advance these kind of things he was talking about, you need a sense of community. And I don't think that's necessarily true. I think that, any sense of a tribe is necessarily exclusionary. You know, so when you frame things in terms of us and them, you know, there's always a them that you don't care about as much, that you're not as concerned about. And, I actually brought some stuff in about, Tim's writings, which, I often disagree with quite strongly.
Oh, look at that.
Jared Henderson.
I have Googled
the Jared Henderson of the anarchist left.
Oh, you've Googled me too. How exciting.
Oh, good. There we go. Touché.
Okay, so Tim has talked about the issue of climate change. And he said, there are people who think that he's criticized the view that parochial national interests must be subordinated to those of humanity at large. He says, if only it were that simple. We need to reframe climate debates in more nationally focused terms, and so we just need to talk about, the national interest instead of global solidarity. And I think, climate change is a classic example of where patriotism fails. If the national interest were to were to outweigh the immense damage that climate change causes to the rest of the world, I don't think that would be an argument for pursuing the national interest over the rest of humanity.
Can I jump in very quickly here, Waleed, just to clarify what I've actually argued on this? I haven't argued that we should ignore the fate of humanity at large at all, but I'm saying that to supplement the case for that, it's useful for us to find the most persuasive language to act on climate change. And I think if the case for climate change had been made in more than one manner and had been made in a way that explained to Australians that, look, it's in our economic self-interest as well as our moral interest to act on climate change, because there's going to be a transition to a low-carbon economy, you can actually get better action.
I understand your point, but let me throw this at you. What if that's not true? What if it just isn't true that acting on climate change is in our national interest when you conceive the national interest as though it's in isolation from other national interests? What if... it's not in our interests to disarm from the nuclear disarmament. It's not in our interests and national interests, even though it might be in humanity's interests. What if it's not in our interests to come up with some global cooperation on, for example, tax evasion? What happens, essentially, is what I'm asking, is what happens when the national interest is directly at odds with the interest of the species?
Well, it depends on how you define the national interest, of course. For me, I would say an Australian national interest is defined by citizenship of an international community. When I think of good Australian national interest being pursued by governments, I don't think of it just as naked realpolitik. I think that it happens in a broader context of regional relationships and international obligations. So for me, that's how I define a national interest.
Sure,
but it's open to debate.
You can redefine national interest to the point where it essentially doesn't have a meaning. I mean, if you get to the point where you're redefining national interest so that, yes, our economy will be destroyed if we go down this path, but at least we're being good international citizens, then doesn't that distort the concept of a national interest?
I think it adds a useful dimension to the debate. I don't think you ever solve debates fundamentally or in an authoritative manner all of the time. I think sometimes there can be a black and white dimension to it, but at other times you have to argue and you have to grapple and you have to engage. And I think because it's so messy, we can't have purity. Gough Whitlam said that only the impotent are pure. And I think he's got a point there. We're grappling with very complex realities in the world. And I think in terms of our moral sentiments, we're very complex beings, and passions and reasons have to exist together.
Okay, but can we just take this back to, some of the relevant facts? So, for example, Oxfam says that hundreds of millions of people are already suffering from climate change. They say even warming of 2 degrees Celsius entails a devastating future for at least 660 million people. Climate change is expected to increase the number of hungry people by 10 to 20% by 2050. I think the present rate according to the World Food Programme. And on and on and on. And, if we're just going to pursue our national interest, you know, obviously, well, it might be in our interest, you know, to just disregard these things. And if you define the national interest in such a vague way where you sort of kind of equivocate, so that doesn't really mean anything, well, then, you know, that's different. But, you know, if you... Patriotism, you know, and it seems to me, you know, George Monbiot wrote about this, that if the interests of 100 Australians and 101, you know, people from Kenya clash, we should prefer the interests of the 100 Australians. And, you know, he says, how do you reconcile this with liberalism? And he says, how do you distinguish it from racism? You know, if you... I would contrast patriotism with internationalism, the view that we should value, you know, all peoples equally and, you know, we should weigh up... you know, I think that the world would definitely benefit from an increase in internationalism and moving away from tribalism.
Okay.
And I think
Tim,
climate change is a classic example of its importance.
Is patriotism the opposite of internationalism? Can you have both?
Well, note what's in the word internationalism. National.
The nation. Yeah.
Is there. I mean, I think if there is a contrast to be made, it's between patriotism, perhaps, and universalism or globalism or cosmopolitanism. But I think you can love your country... be a patriot, but also be engaged in global issues. And I said at the start that I'm a rotten patriotic scoundrel of a qualified sort, and that's because I don't believe that there should be no limits at all on patriotism. There should be liberal limits, and by liberal limits, I mean morality and certain norms of respecting the dignity of others and other communities.
Okay. It's nearly 18 minutes past the hour. You're on RN Drive. If you'd like to join this conversation, maybe throw a rhetorical grenade or two in or just ask a question of our panellists, you can. 1300 call RN is the number. 1300 call RN. Or send us a text message 0418 226 576. I might bring into this conversation someone who, well, I don't know whether or not she's patriotic, but she's been recognised as a great Australian anyway. Her name is Lyn Sawyer. She was awarded Australia's Local Hero for 2012 in Canberra last night. Lyn Sawyer, congratulations.
Well, thank you very much.
What is obviously a lot of community work, and that's why you won your award. The Local Hero Award is reserved for that sort of person.
Yes.
Do you consider what you do to be a patriotic form of behaviour, or is it just a human form of behaviour for you?
Both. I would say it was both, because that's where it comes from, doesn't it? From humanity to start with.
Mm-hmm.
And if you were to read some of the things that some of these great Australians have done, who were in for the Australian Award, it's incredible. You know, it is just so incredible. It makes you very, very proud.
So what was it about your Australian identity that inspires you in the kind of... And tell us what the work that you do as well.
Well, I'm a foster mum, and I've been doing it now for 16 years. And that's wonderful, wonderful thing to do, I think, for children who are in trouble and need help, just need to be guided on the right path and just helped when they're in big, dire straits. And very proud to be Australian. I'm very proud to be Australian. Because we have such a wonderful country here. We have a free country. You know, you can say what you want to say and you don't get put down by saying it. You know, there's a lot of friendship. There's a lot of kinship. Everybody helps each other when things get really bad. Everyone pulls together, like the Queensland floods. To me, that is loving your country and loving your neighbours and everybody else, you know. And I'm very proud to say I'm Australian.
Do you find that being a proud Australian or being patriotic in any way excludes other people from the human family, or of the human family, from your concern? Does it make you favour Australians over other people?
No. I think it's wonderful that we have such a diversity here in Australia. You know, we have just about every nationality here, and I think it's wonderful because we're all human. It doesn't matter where you come from, we're all human.
Thanks very much, Lyn. Good to talk to you. Congratulations again on the award. You're going to have a big year, I've got a feeling.
Oh, well, thank you very, very much.
No worries at all. That's Lyn Sawyer, Australia's Local Hero for 2012 in Canberra last night. Now, we're getting lots of texts and messages on various social media sites, so I should probably be remiss of me not to mention a few of them. Kerry says, patriotism is fine if love is its motivation. Love of land, country, culture, people, creator. Otherwise, it's dangerous. An anonymous text, what we need is an alien invasion from outer space so we can learn to love our planet. That's picking up on the climate change issue that we're discussing discussing a little bit before. And Dean says, I refuse to celebrate what is good on Australia Day because the date is far too bad. The SMS number is 0418 226 576 if you'd like to jump in on that conversation, or give us a call.
I'd like to...
1300 call RN. Sorry, go ahead, Michael.
Oh, well, I do agree very strongly, and I'd like to know what Tim thinks about it. I think that, you know, the date is not when Australia was formed, which was, you know, when we federated. The date is on the anniversary of, you know, the invasion of Australia by, you know, the colonisers. And, you know, Justices Dean and Gaudron in Mabo too, you know, talked about, you know, the oppression and the dispossession, degradation and devastation of the Aboriginal peoples, the national legacy of unutterable shame. And, you know, choosing it on the arrival of the date of the arrival of the first fleet is such an outrageous offence to Indigenous Australians. I think that, you know, even if I was patriotic, I would refuse to be patriotic on a day like today.
Tim, as a patriot, does the date ever give you pause?
Oh, it gives me a lot of reason to pause, and I'm very ambivalent about the date. And as an Australian patriot, I'm a Republican patriot as well. I think the ideal situation would be for Australia to become a republic and would have a republic day.
I'm actually a monarchist. Mm.
Wow. Okay. Now, this
That's
is
good.
Interesting.
That's good to know. but to answer Michael's question about Indigenous Australians, I think there is a very serious need to reflect on occasions such as Australia Day about the state of Indigenous Australia. Mm-hmm. Now, I think the proper or worthy patriotic response to the issue is to demand that we do better, to criticise ourselves, because I think a patriotism that is worth celebrating is one that allows for self-criticism.
Okay. But is the danger that patriotism so rarely is that, that patriotism is so often coupled with a lack of self-criticism and indeed the castigation of anyone who does choose to...
I think that is a real issue. And you know, part of the reason why I adhere to my scoundrel... like patriotism is because I think it is important to challenge people to reflect more deeply on what it means to be Australian. And for me, it's not about private culture, or it's not about lifestyle and landscape on its own. It's also about civic values, about the bond of citizenship that I think we all share as Australians. And so, if we have that as a common ground, then perhaps we can have a more constructive debate around all sorts of issues on Australia Day. And I want to make a note too, you know, of Charlie Teo's lecture a few days ago about racism in Australian society. Now, I have no problem about debating racism in Australian society, and I think that you can have a mature debate about racism, and if you are committed to Australia, then you will see this as a very serious problem to confront.
Now, Michael, can I just clarify your position here? Because as someone, as a critic of patriotism, as you said, are you critical of it because of the way it tends to be expressed, or are you critical of it because, in principle, you think that it's impossible to be expressed in less jingoistic way?
I think there'd be a few things. One, I'm a rationalist. I support Enlightenment values, and patriotism is basically irrational. Everyone is born in a certain country, and patriotism means you love that country. So, you know, either every single country in the world is the best country in the world, and the nation is uniquely wonderful and has, you know, these unique values of fairness and, you know, whatever. Or it's just basically a secular religion.
Is that a strange definition of patriotism?
Yeah, I mean, look, I was actually born in France, Michael, so by your definition, I therefore can't be a patriot. I mean, I think you can define...
Okay, it varies a little bit. Like, you know, Jewish people may be patriotic to Israel, but, you know, 99% of cases is usually, you know, the country you're born into, or, you know, the tribe you're in, or, you know, whatever. It's usually not based on a careful evaluation of... you know, the merits of each country.
Right, so I haven't made a sober assessment about which country is the best, and then an intellectual conviction that determines whether...
The other thing is, I think that people who are unpatriotic are probably better equipped to perform what I would call a civic service of criticism. You know, patriotism, I think, is the virtue of the complacent. You know, if you say, I love my country, that's less of a motivation to change it than if you say, I hate it and I want to make it a different place. And, you know, I have this wonderful quote by Robert Mann. He wrote sneeringly that some of the left-wing identification with the injustice done to the Aborigines is founded on a certain kind of rancour in regard to their own society, on taking pleasure at its denigration, on the systematic exaggeration of its shortcomings and underestimation of its virtues. And he says, you know, people are suspicious of this kind of leftism. They fail to distinguish, you know, John Pilger from Henry Reynolds. And... you know, I think there's a lot to be said for listening to people like John Pilger. And, you know, one of the funny things about that is that was a month before the Bringing Them Home report was tabled. And it was only when the Bringing Them Home report was tabled that he, you know, he said he learned about the Stolen Generations. But John Pilger had been written about it in his 1989 book. So, you know, there is a long history of people who are unpatriotic, you know, exposing injustice, and I think that people who are unpatriotic are much better equipped to do so.
But surely, for your point to be made, you would need to establish that there is no example or no history of patriotic people making similar contributions, wouldn't
you? No, I mean, my position isn't that all patriotic people are bad or evil or something. I said it's
that makes me sleep a lot easier tonight.
It doesn't really contribute to anyone. Like, it doesn't actually contribute to anything positive. Like, if you want to make Australia a better place or you want to, you know, contribute.
So, are you therefore denying Lynn Sawyer's contribution, you know, because she identifies as a patriot? I mean, does that rule out her contribution, Michael?
I just said, I'm not saying that if someone does something good, that's bad. I'm saying you don't need to be patriotic to do good things. It's irrelevant.
See, I agree with you that you don't have to be patriotic to do good things, but to rule it out as irrelevant and throw a blanket over it, I think, is just foolish and misguided.
Can I bring in some of the...
Why?
I'll get to...
It's not a relevant motivating force. Like, you don't need to be patriotic to do good things.
Not that you need to, but Lynn Sawyer said that it was a motivating force for her.
Okay, well, fine. I mean, there are people who do things, you know, because they're Muslim, because they're Jewish, because they're Hindu. That doesn't mean that it's inherently good to be any of those things.
Last chance to respond to him.
Michael talked about criticism. I actually think that patriotism provides the basis for the most powerful forms of criticism, because then you have a tradition, a standard to which you want to live up to. And if you love something, you want to improve it. Now, that's a point of moral psychology. People may not necessarily agree with all of it, but I think there are a lot of people out there who would find it resonant.
But is the point that love is exclusive, and that you may love something and want to improve it, but you may also love something and implicitly not want to improve or maybe want to destroy?
Well, compare it to romantic love. Sometimes romantic love leads to jealousy, but do we therefore rule out all forms of love? I don't think that it's right to rule out something just because there are some extreme manifestations of it, because there can be good manifestations
extreme,
of patriotism too.
Is it that extreme? The idea that those who fall outside of your patriotic circle become of less concern to you, that's not extreme, that's inherent, isn't it?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think there are a lot of Australian patriots who are proud of being an Australian citizen and being part of an Australian public tradition, who don't necessarily see the need to beat their chest, proclaim their love of country and say that we're, you know, 100% Aussie or F off, we're full, or declare that we were born here, or we flew, you know, you flew here, we grew here, and exclude people and point to people and say, you're not Australian, I'm Australian, I get to define Australian. I don't think all people who love Australia necessarily go down that path. But those who do, sure, I think, are extreme manifestations.
You're picking up a point, actually both of you are picking up a point that's coming through very strongly from listeners. On our Facebook page, Michael Dorr has written an interesting comment saying, patriotic, yes, jingoistic, no. Patriotism is so much more than flying an Australian flag or wearing an I Love Oz t-shirt. There are things I dearly love about this country. At its best, Australia embraces its rich cultural diversity. At its worst, there is an inward-looking myopic psyche that struggles to cope with change and project its fears onto vulnerable minorities. That's on our Facebook page. And by the way, if you'd like to contribute to that conversation on Facebook, even after the show, that'll go on. RN Drive, we are on Facebook. You can like us there and then chat away. And also on our Twitter, Gabe Delane says, to me, patriotism has always meant not making a big deal about it. Flag, cape, Aussie, Aussie, Aussie makes me feel uncomfortable. And Jennifer, also on our Twitter, says, I saw an Aussie patriot covered in green like a head to toe, even his head and eyes covered, riding a bike in St Kilda with an Australian flag. Thanks for that report from the field. And we are at RN Drive on Twitter if you'd like to hit us up with a comment or two, and RN Drive on Facebook. Now, it's 29 minutes past the hour. We're coming towards the end of this, and we do have some of your voices from the street telling us what patriotism means to you. And we'll get to hear some of those voices in just a second. I just want to ask one final question to Tim and Michael. Of course, you can jump in as well in response to this. Tim, I understand the point that you're making about having a community, having some kind of fidelity to a group of people, and that not necessarily being exclusive, although it often takes exclusionary expression. But I guess the question that we have to ask when we're talking about patriotism is, why is it? What is the philosophical or moral argument that requires us to privilege the nation state as that group over something else, say a regional thing or a more local thing, or perhaps a cultural thing, or religious or a linguistic? There are so many cultural or human formations that exist. Why should we privilege the nation state as that formation?
Yeah, I agree with you that there are many affiliations that can motivate virtue or good behaviour. I think the nation state is important, even in a globalising world, because it remains the most powerful political unit out there. Governments are still organised at a national level, and until governments no longer take national form until there is a cosmopolitan politics at large and comprehensively. I still think that national membership remains the most powerful way to motivate people to contribute.
So is this a pragmatic argument that you're making, or is it a philosophical argument?
To a large extent, I'd say it's pragmatic. I mean, I mean, philosophically speaking, I think it'd be wonderful if we can be cosmopolitans, but I don't think that we're at that stage of our human development.
If the nation state became a relic, well, then you would no longer be calling for a patriotism of that kind.
Yeah, I suppose right. So. I mean, okay. I'm a product of my time.
Sure, Michael.
Look, I mean, I think that you know, it's not the point of commentators to try to be popular. They should try to say what they think is true. And, you know, I think, you know, speaking about the national identity, I think it's, you know, completely artificial in Australia. You know, there is no real national identity in Australia. There's, you know, different identities in Australia and, you know, all nationalisms are, you know, completely artificial. And, yeah.
All right. You've both been very, very clear. Thanks for joining
us. Just one more point.
Very quickly, Michael, we've got to move on.
I think patriotism is just making a virtue of vanity, you know, saying how wonderful we are. I think, you know, if in an individual, it'd be considered ridiculous, because we flatter each other, it's considered fantastic.
Well, there's a text that might respond to that point, actually. For the meaning of Australia Day to be true, it is necessary to both celebrate and mourn. Not necessarily in that order. Not a bad final word to wrap up the discussion. Gentlemen, thanks for coming in. It's been robust and I've had fun.
Indeed, me too. Thanks, Michael.
Thank you very much.
That's Tim Soupomasan, author, academic and political theorist there, and Michael Brule, a blogger and commentator who's currently doing the JD at the University of New South Wales. Now, 28 minutes to the hour, we're going to leave the last word on celebrating Australia Day and on patriotism to you. Here's a little bit of what you had to say when we went and asked around.
For me, at least, it's not necessarily the flag waving, but getting out and having a good time in the sun.
Nobody's trying to stop us.
Yeah.
That's being an Australian.
I'm a permanent resident of Australia and I'm a citizen. I'm original from southern Sudan. It's so beautiful to wish it today. I really enjoy it with my kids, so I really like it.
It's awesome to be Australian. It's great, the culture around us. There's a lot of culturism everywhere, really.
Multicultural land of opportunity, beautiful land that accommodates the different nationalities. Yeah, it's beautiful.
We are wearing white singlets, pyjama shorts that have Australian flag on it, and a big, massive Australian flag, hats and tattoos everywhere.
Everywhere.
Tattoos. Literally everywhere. It's because it's Australia Day.
Thank you.
I'm Green and Gold. My name is Ethel Kelly. I've got a Green and Gold suit featuring a kangaroo and a Southern Cross. And I've got a special badge on my cap. I wear it every Australia Day with a waistcoat and with the lapels, kangaroo and Southern Cross. To me, it means proud to be Australian. We live here, we're not necessarily English or we're not necessarily anything. We are Australian, we are a unique people, united, my view.